Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Dangerous Duke
and your boy Stevie Jobber.
And welcome to the Dangerous Jobbers podcast. And for the next 15 minutes, we're running a segment called The Dark Match.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red out in the back smoking a joint.
Welcome back to The Dark Match. This episode is a little different. We're going through a tough time in wrestling. So yeah. We decided no time limit for this dark match. Nope. We're going to just use the time to give our favorite Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk moments. We got hit back to back this week.
Yeah,
and it's just been devastating for everybody. So I think everybody's just using the time to celebrate them. So Duke, give us the layout. How are we going to do this one?
Yeah, so obviously, as you guys know, everybody in wrestling saw it. This past week, we lost not just one, but two performers. We lost Hall of Famer Terry Funk, and we lost the creative genius that is Bray Wyatt. First and foremost, thoughts and prayers go out to both families and friends of Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. Just a rough week for wrestling. But instead of making this a sad one, we're just going to go down some of their favorite moments, their best moments, and celebrate them. Obviously, you know, death is untimely, but they would want the show to go on, so that's what it's going to be. We're going to highlight a lot of our listeners' favorite moments of both these men and just talk about them real quick. And that's pretty much it. We're just going to celebrate the moments that these guys gave us as wrestling fans, pretty much.
Yeah, and if you're listening on YouTube, if you're listening on Spotify, in the comments, just tell us some of your favorite moments if we didn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And share them anyway if we did, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a time to show love to these two.
Definitely. So I guess with that being said, we can kick it off with Terry Funk. This man had a storied career,
mm-hmm.
long, long career, probably the pioneer, one of the main pioneers of hardcore wrestling. There wouldn't be an ECW without people like Terry Funk. Wrestled some of the greatest, from Flair to Steamboat, Foley, just anybody you can think of within the last 50 years, Terry Funk has probably been affiliated with them in a ring in one way or another. So we asked you guys on Facebook, we asked you guys on Instagram, give us some of your favorite moments. So we're going to run down them right now. Zero Cool 22 said his favorite Terry Funk moment was the Beyond the Mat documentary. I've never seen this documentary, so I had to do some research on it. Basically, what this was it was a doc that featured wrestlers from the late 90s and before, and it kind of gave you a look into what their lives were like outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the main focuses were Mick Foley, Terry Funk, and Jake the Snake. So they had others, but those were like the three main ones that they focused on. I didn't even know this thing existed, so now I'm going to have to go out and try to figure out where it is so I can watch it.
Yeah, we gotta do some homework.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do some digging on that one for sure.
But speaking to that extreme side of Terry Funk,
mm-hmm.
that I'm sure the documentary touches on. I think we got one from Dita Toy Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. Dita Toy Hunter also said his favorite memory from Terry Funk was him becoming the first ECW World Heavyweight Champion. Now, Terry was, there was obviously ECW champions before then,
mm-hmm.
but when it first became like established as the world heavyweight title for ECW, Terry was the first one. Before I believe it was just the ECW championship, then it became mm-hmm. world heavyweight. Which is fitting when you think about it.
Yeah.
Ain't too many people as extreme or hardcore as Terry Funk.
Yeah, he was an innovator, man. He was one of those people that was forefathers. I remember seeing pictures of him with Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh yeah.
He's been doing these.
He's been around doing these forever.
Yeah, I remember when Flair had his hardcore phase. That was all Terry Funk, man. He's just done it with the best of them first,
Yeah.
before anybody.
And like you said, he's been around doing it with everybody. One person he's done some pretty hardcore stuff with, Mick Foley. And that leads us right into the next one because AJ the Collecting Legend, another one of the wrestling fanatics right there. AJ's favorite moment was when Terry Funk beat the living crap out of Mick Foley with a flaming barbed wire baseball bat.
Yeah, you know what's incredible? These two are definitely a yin and yang to each other.
He's right.
Which makes it fitting when Foley heard about it. It was from Funk's daughter. But these two have done it all to each other. So
Literally.
the flaming barbed wire bat is. It's a great moment for them because it kind of solidifies that weapon,
Right.
and in their histories, and it comes up, it becomes a reoccurring thing through the years of them together and apart. So yeah, that was definitely a crazy moment. Just all the hardcore exchanges between the two of them when they were enemies before they became friends.
Yeah, they definitely did have some crazy moments. And then, like you said, it also solidified that weapon and the use of that weapon going forward. I mean, just when you think a baseball bat is bad enough, let's wrap that bad boy in barbed wire. And then just to add a little sprinkle on top, let's light that son of a bitch on fire.
It can't get any more hardcore than that, man.
Now you think that, but
Oh, well, yeah.
Terry, being the innovator and the crazy man that he is, Nadia, aka the Little Monster, Terry Funk, top moment for her, Chainsaw Charlie cutting the box with the chainsaw.
You know what? I gotta agree. This was the Chainsaw Charlie was a lot of fun,
Yes.
and I think it's more in my head because I was actually alive to see these. A lot of these wrestlers I do a ton of homework on anyway, but it's something different to have lived in a moment where you knew them for the first time. So Chainsaw Charlie, when I first heard the news that Terry Funk died, I think that was like the first thing I said when I said anything on social media. My first initial thought was, man, they took Chainsaw Charlie.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
Not the
just
and of course Terry Funk is the more legendary of the two, but man, I say that in like taking a favorite uncle. Like,
Yeah,
man,
it's
they took
like
Chainsaw Charlie, bro. That's
I feel like anybody
powerful.
who has multiple characters or double characters, you're still gonna use the other character's name anyway, like the faces of Foley. I mean, God forbid when it's Foley's time, there's people that are gonna be like, damn, they took Dude Love, or damn, they took Cactus from us. Like there's gonna be some big ones. But I agree with everything you just said. Mr. Awesome, his favorite moment was not even technically a Terry Funk match. It was just something he was affiliated in. And this was after the Flair and Steamboat match where Terry Funk came out and just laid in and beat the crap out of Ric Flair.
Funk has always been funk, and I think that's a very special part of why he means so much to the business, beyond being the second generation and being up against all these people, he was always funk, and funk was always hard. So any whooping you get from Funk, especially blindsided, it's gonna look like he's just dog walking you. You know what I mean? So and to take what Flair and Steamboat was and to that technical masterpiece they had into a total 180 in fighting styles between Flair and Funk. Definitely had to be a moment.
Yeah. And then the last moment we have from Terry Funk, this one comes from Big Tito, and that one is when they inducted him into the Hardcore Hall of Fame in 2005 at the Alhambria Arena, which is now the 2300 Arena.
Yeah, when you first said it, I was like, what?
Now, I wasn't there for this one. I was there in 2007 when they inducted Sandman. And it was still the Alhambria Arena. It wasn't 2300 Arena yet. But Big Tito happened to go to this one in 2005.
Oh, man. That's cool that you got to attend that, first of all. Yeah.
Like, I got, I mean,
to let's see, start there.
I got to see the banner when they inducted Sandman, but I seen the Funk banner.
Okay.
I didn't know Funk too much at that point because obviously, you know, it was WWE and ECW was just starting to come back. Impact was around. So I didn't see much of Funk. But then, you know, as you get older, you start watching older matches, doing your research, you start learning more about these guys. And it's like, damn, this was an innovator here.
Yeah. He was an apex. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I'm glad you got to see that. I'm glad it happened here. I'm glad here's where the Hardcore Hall of Fame is.
Yes, there's no other place you could put it.
And I mean, yeah, you talk about, I mean, hardcore in general. Before we called Foley the hardcore legend, which by the time we called him that, I was like, this is played out. Are we really going to do that? Because originally, to me, the hardcore legend was Terry Funk.
Yes.
And we call Cactus just something else.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the world's most, not the world's most dangerous man, but he was something else. And we were going with like Foley is God at the time. So
yeah.
Hardcore legend is like, come on. Aren't we kind of just copying and pasting at this point? But just talking about extreme and hardcore. Terry Funk going into the Hall of Fame in Philly is definitely a moment.
For sure. So that's all the Terry Funk moments we have. Now we are going to jump to Bray Wyatt. And this one kind of rocked everybody. Like, nobody was expecting this.
Yeah.
Especially at the young age that he was, 36 years old. Come to find out it was health complications leading to a heart attack is eerie, to say the least. It's almost reminiscent of Eddie Guerrero.
Dude, it's almost exactly like that.
And it's crazy to think, because this was somebody that people were billing as this generation's Undertaker. And now, unfortunately, because of the untimely passing, he's probably going to be billed as this generation's Eddie. Like, you knew the talent was there, you saw the greatness, you appreciated the greatness, and he was just taken too soon.
Yeah, man.
So it's
36, it's bro.
Definitely a hurt piece. But
and I've been talking with people too about it, you know, about what he meant and, you know, how it was gonna feel seeing SmackDown. And I mean, they did it right though. Can we just spend a moment? Your thoughts on SmackDown?
It was perfect. It was me and Reckless Figs talked about this at length a little bit, and we talked about what we think SmackDown should be, and they hit the nail on the head. Like, it was the beginning was perfect, the tribute that they did, and then it wasn't like a full, complete memorial show. It was a show that acknowledged him in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They sprinkled stuff in throughout the show. And then they ended with him.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need to be the full complete thing like the way Eddie was. I don't think Bray would have wanted that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the show went on. It was a great show. They did what they should have done. They put storylines to the side. They put feuds on hold. We just gonna have some great matches. We just gonna put on a show. That's what we gonna do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, well, they still had to have their segments here and there, but
yeah,
there weren't a lot of segments that were story. Like there was just, you know, like match threads that had story in them, but no story outside of that. All the other moments were spent about Funk and Bray.
Yeah, I love that they had the Terry Funk hardcore tag match.
Even though I gotta tell you guys, it wasn't very hardcore.
It wasn't, but you know, hey, it is what it is.
But they put on a great performance.
Mm-hmm. I love that they brought back they let Braun come back from injury and be a part of it. They brought Rowan back, which was beautiful. I love that. Cody being there was great. And to be honest, I don't know if they even said this on the show. I don't know if they acknowledged it, but the main event itself. Think about this, right? LA Knight, Finn Balor. Bray's last opponent versus The Fiend's first opponent.
I didn't realize The Fiend's first opponent was Finn.
Finn Balor. It was Finn Balor. That was awesome. I didn't know if they like said that or what, but it was a nice little Easter egg.
Well, you know what? To me, it was just great that the last person to have a match with him was LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And LA Knight, it was LA Knight's first big feud. So it was really a vehicle to put LA Knight over as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they ended the night putting LA Knight over finally.
Yeah.
To me was like, that's probably the least you could have done for Bray is put over the guy he was trying to put over. You know what I mean? Finally. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, not only that, it was funny because like you said, it was his final opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everyone's going to remember that, not because it was LA, not just because it was LA Knight, because the match itself, even though at the time it might not have been the greatest or the look of the match might not have been the greatest,
mm-hmm.
it was a memorable match because of the type of match that it was. Like when you think about it, it was the pitch black match.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was lit up.
Mm-hmm.
The match was good or the match was bad, you're gonna remember his last
match. The freaky face paint.
Because of how freaky and weird it was.
The characters popping out at the end. Like,
yeah, like you're gonna remember how creepy it was. Uncle Howdy doing the mm-hmm. jump off of the top of the thing, even though you could tell he completely missed LA Knight.
Which I hear people are calling back for Uncle Howdy to come back. I would love for Uncle Howdy to come back and just reveal he's Bo Dallas. And let's just go from there. Let him be the Rey Mysterio in this. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to lie.
Bo just be Bo and be the brother of Bray Wyatt and that be the whole. Have him be an organic character in himself.
Dude, the one thing I wanted that didn't happen was at the end of the show, I wanted Uncle Howdy to just come out. He didn't even have to do nothing. He could have just like walked around. They could have had like the chair rocking in the ring. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Howdy just touched the chair and end the show like that. That would have been, I would have loved that. But I like the way they did. And I like
Fantasy Book. That picture that they had where Rowan and Braun are hugging each other while they're touching the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a moment. I wish they would have kept the chair there the whole night.
Yeah.
But fantasy booking it, if they'd have did that like at the end and like had the chair out and had them like by the chair,
mm-hmm. with,
like the last two members of the Wyatt family. And then maybe have Uncle Howdy come out and touch the chair with him.
Yeah.
And then reveal he's Bo Dallas because we're over it. And just be like, oh my God, Uncle Howdy was Bo. Oh, it's such a moment, the three of them together. And then he can just be Bo Dallas after this. Like, we don't ever have to address the Uncle Howdy character. It died with Bray. I'm Bo Dallas now.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been great. But that's me fantasy booking it. My only critique was that I wish they would have kept the chair out. I just felt like,
yeah,
because they kept the car out for Eddie, it would have been cool for them to keep the chair out and it just be, you know, its own thing for the night.
And then before we jump into these moments, I do want to acknowledge, I appreciate AEW and their little nod to Bray Wyatt. I don't know if you've seen it. Oh, you did see it? Okay, so for those who didn't see it, by the time this is out, All Out has already happened. It's actually already happened after we, as we're recording. But House of Black came out, and it went pitch black for them. The Fireflies came out, and correct me if I'm wrong, Buddy came with the lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And the commentary team did acknowledge it and said their thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends and colleagues of Bray Wyatt, a creative genius and a creative mastermind in the wrestling world. So that was awesome to see. I like that. They didn't need to do anything extravagant. Obviously, he wasn't a member of their roster. But you work with a lot of people who were affiliated with Bray.
Very close friends with Brody Lee.
Yeah, so, you know, you kind of got to say something.
Yeah.
But let's get into these moments. The first one we have is from a good old boy, Arcade Pop. And one of his favorite moments, because he gave me a few, but one of them was his alliance and his run with Alexa Bliss. Which, ironically enough, Alexa has said on numerous occasions before and after the passing, working with Bray is the most fun she's had in her entire run with the company.
This is the first time I'm talking about it at length. That was an interesting time, though. I don't think we all enjoyed how it ended, but the road too was quite a road.
I'm
thankful for that, because I just wish that they found a way. There just could have been, you know.
With that, I agree. With that whole Alexa Bliss thing,
fantastic.
There could have been more, but I appreciate that it was something completely different for her. Mm-hmm. It was something she had never done, something that a lot of people didn't know if she could pull off. And yeah. I think looking back, she kind of played the part pretty decently.
She did exactly what she was supposed to do. I think the only thing they could have done better was to make her Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Even though,
like, she was still Alexa Bliss. She was still Alexa Bliss.
This is the shit that gets me. Because this is why I said it's tough, because now I'm talking about it at length and I'm saying things I never thought I would say before. I was going to say, you know, even though I wish she would have been Sister Abigail, even though in a way she kind of was, because she ended up being the female
equivalent
to Bray.
Yeah, I think
I found myself saying, well, now that the story's over, which is crushing to say, I guess she is like Sister Abigail, because we unfortunately won't have a storyline where we explore that now. So
yeah, I will say she did play the part very well. It's Alexa Bliss. She can pull off crazy, you know.
She's great. She was perfect for the role.
And again, like you said, it sucks we're not gonna get any more, but you know, they did do some entertaining things.
She ended up being like a Harley Quinn.
Yeah, like shooting the fireball, doing the
yeah. And I feel like she could do, because they're keeping the doll.
Yeah.
Because it sells too much merch.
The only thing that I have with that storyline. She could
still tap back into that at any point.
Yeah, yeah. She could still channel the spirit of Bray at some point. She just gotta hit that switch and go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Horror Collector Fiend said his favorite moment. He had two. One of them was the Alexa Bliss stuff, like we just touched on. Mm-hmm. The other was the return promo on the SmackDown after Extreme Rules. And man, oh man, if there was ever a promo that somebody poured their heart into, like it didn't even feel like a character talking. It felt like him talking. It felt like a Wyndham conversation. This is gonna be tough, man. And nobody said this would be easy.
Because we were there. We were at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
We witnessed this comeback. So
we did.
And I remember it was such a moment. Like, if you've never seen him live. And we had waited so long and everybody was saying, we think tonight's gonna be the night. And the energy in the arena. And like you know, the Fireflies were out. He was debuting that brand new entrance for the first time, and the music was killer, and the puppets were live and in the crowd, and
it was.
He didn't even need to say anything. You just felt the presence and the love, and so to hear the promo the week after, and it felt like. And this is so eerie because it felt like his last incarnation wasn't even a new face. It felt like it was a lot of the character was just him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost this outside look
at him.
At him, like being haunted by all his characters.
Mm-hmm. It was like a. What's that movie? Split.
It was like Split.
It was like a Split type of thing. It was almost like a...
Yeah, you were talking to a personality that like knew about the other personalities, but...
It was almost like them. It was almost like he was operating in like a Stanley Kubrick film or something like that.
It was crazy. He was... And he catches such a masterpiece. But my point is, because that is the angle that he took,
mm-hmm.
The promo when he came back after witnessing that first night, the promo after felt so. It was a Wyndham conversation.
Yeah.
Like he had dropped all the characters.
He wasn't Bray. He wasn't Fiend. He wasn't Eater of Worlds. He was just Wyndham.
And he was so appreciative, man.
Yeah.
It was like real. It was. And it's I say it's eerie because it's almost like he knew like this was my last one.
I feel so, like
before we do this whole thing, I just want you to know how much, you know, you mean to me. Like he knew like it was going to be the last one we got.
Like it's
it was like a whole, and the LA Knight thing. This is why the LA Knight thing is going to go down as such an important match, because even though it was small. It just running the same Eddie parallel, just like Eddie winning that match in that tournament at the time against Mr. Kennedy was a small thing. If you look at the match in itself, it was like one last grand display of Eddie as a character. It had all the elements, all the technique, everything that made Eddie who he was, just like the last Bray match. So it was like a last hurrah run that nobody knew was like a last hurrah.
Dude, you know, it's like you're reading my mind with this, because literally as soon as you said Eddie, like even before you said Eddie, I had something in my head. So my thing was his last, that return promo when he was telling everybody thank you and how appreciative he was.
He said we saved his life, man.
Dude, this is what's getting me. It's eerily similar to Eddie's promo when Eddie was like, to everyone who supported me and everybody who's been behind me since the beginning, I say gracias, thank you, orale. Like, it's eerily similar to that. It's scary how, like, how these parallel, like, how similar this is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's freaky, man. It's freaky. And history may not always repeat itself, but it looks very similar.
Yes.
And if you're following wrestling long enough, you'll see all the parallels.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. I love that phrase.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And the way his, I mean, we got more moments. So we'll keep returning to this conversation.
Yeah, we're going to wind up returning at some point. So but AJ, the collecting legend, had, again, another person who gave us quite a few. We didn't want to duplicate too many, but his favorite moment was Elimination Chamber 2017 when Bray defeats AJ Styles and becomes the WWE champion.
Of all people, AJ Styles, man.
Exactly, of all people.
The AJ rub. And this gets us into another great story. Trying not to be emotional. So if you look back on SmackDown after they do the big Bray, bring you to tears package, you can catch AJ wiping a tear when they come back from the camera.
Yeah.
AJ and the good brothers. Know him from Japan.
Yep.
And they became very, very close because they all lived kind of a cowboy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Absolutely right. Yep.
And they just, there's a separate, they didn't play it on SmackDown, but the Good Brothers did their own kind of.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Just remembering of one of their favorite times with Bray and how they knew him. And
Bray Wyatt too strong.
What they meant, what Bray meant to them. And it makes so much more, it makes it so much more symbolic that Bray would beat AJ for that title at Elimination Chamber at the height of AJ Styles, you know?
Yeah, that was like, I think that was AJ's first title run too, if I'm not mistaken.
And Bray gets a first good run going into Mania. And it just felt like finally they were going with Bray Wyatt. I remember that moment.
Yeah.
And of course he became world champion after that, but that first win is so special. And Elimination Chamber wins when you get a new champ are so special.
Exactly.
It really cemented a moment for everybody that, oh my God, finally we're going with Bray.
And not only that, it makes it even more special when it's someone you want it to be, but you don't expect it to be. It's like, because of the people that were, yeah, like we were thinking, all right, it's either going to be Dean or it's going to be John, it's going to be AJ. And then we're like, holy shit.
As it went down, because Bray normally loses.
Mm-hmm.
As iconic as he is, a big gripe of mine that I'll have to learn to let go in my own grieving process is that sometimes they should have just gave him the Rock.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So yeah.
At least enough. They didn't give it to him enough.
They didn't give him it enough. So the fact that they, up to that point, they hadn't given him the Rock yet.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like this is going to be the easy guy that like AJ beats. Not easy, but it's going to be a battle and AJ's going to overcome because Bray never gets the win. So when he finally got it, it was like, oh my God, finally they went with Bray.
I remember when we were watching that, we were like, holy shit, they actually did that.
Yeah.
Because we weren't expecting that, man. And especially given the time frame, like, you know, his Wyatt family brethren had just won the Rumble. He's in an Elimination Chamber for the WWE title. It's like, oh, they're not going to give it to him. And then, holy crap, they actually did that.
So, very cool.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. Next one we got, Dita Toy Hunter. Another one gave us quite a few. So we narrowed it down. His favorite Bray Wyatt moment is the entire feud that was Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan, which made both of these men better and elevated both of these men to just new heights with this feud. And believe you me, this was probably the feud of that year. Like, this was like Yes Movement Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, this was still like around that time, around yes. the backs of it. Yeah, because I remember the Usos were like, Daniel, how could you? And he was playing inside man up until the end. That was a great feud, because it was a good Bray needed the rub.
Yep.
Because we needed Bray to actually get somebody, even for a little bit, to just feel like he won. So, in us continuing to look for the opportunity, like, at some point, this can't be just, like, you know. And he chose the most opportune time to light the match and take out the Wyatts in that cell. So it was just, the whole feud was really cool. What do you remember from that?
I remember being shocked when I found out that was a moment where it was like, damn, they really gonna let Daniel Bryan run with the Wyatt family? Like, this is Captain Yes right here. It's like, no, well, this don't work. Like, how does this not, like, how does this work? And then you watch it for a few weeks and it's like,
it starts to convince you.
Like, damn, this is actually working.
And then he fits right in. He's got the beard. He's got the beard.
He's got the hair. He's short. It gives it a whole new dynamic. They have really a tall pit
bull element. You know exactly. What I mean?
It's like, you know what? I can watch this. I can dig this. And then he does the turn, and it's like,
you almost didn't want him to. This was going so well though, Daniel.
But again, it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It gave Bray a rub. It elevated the both of them. It was entertaining as hell. It pushed merch. Like, it did nothing wrong. It checked all the boxes. And then it led to a barn burner of a match between the two of them. So I have no complaints about anything about that feud. Like I said, probably feud of the year at that time.
Such good work, man. Such good shit.
Such good shit. Like the good old Vince Puppet says. Next one we got Nadia, aka Little Monster. She has two. So her first one is seeing Bray Wyatt live at a house event, which is pretty cool. Anytime you get to see Bray live, you know, you take that ball and you run with it. And the other one was his WrestleMania 30 entrance. Now you said quite a bit about this, because this was the one where he fought Taker, correct?
30
was John.
30 was him and John.
Yeah, 30 was him and John.
But I'll carry that. We'll piggyback off of this into my favorite moment, Nadia, because you start me at a great place. First of all, seeing Bray live is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, not gonna spend too much more time on that. WrestleMania 30 was very important because this was Bray's first Mania, I believe.
Yes,
and he had gotten the biggest break you can get in the business, getting John Cena for WrestleMania.
Yes,
and one of the long, this began the start of a long-running theme through Bray's career where he didn't get a win, where you probably should have given him a win. But this was very important. Even if you look up the promo package, it'll tell you everything you needed to know. It was the first time and probably the only time they used an Eminem song for a promo for the video. And it was just sick. Bray was doing something totally different. And it was kayfabe, and it was new, and it was intriguing, and you could suspend your disbelief. And it was such a good build. And he had like, this was the world eater. This was the, he's got the whole thing in his head.
The children's choir and
This
everything.
was the children's choir and the lamb masks.
Damn, that was a moment, like, beautiful moment too. I
This
forgot. I
was
completely forgot about that children's choir.
this, this and the story was so deep because it wasn't even a, it was like he was stealing. It was like he had sicked the children of the lamb on him. And it was like his kid, it was like ultimate good versus evil. And all Bray really needed to win was for John to just turn heel. And I feel like they could have ran such a great story where if they had just let John cheat to win, Bray doesn't, because Bray didn't even need to win.
No, he didn't.
If you go back in the story, Bray's victory was just to get John to show a side of himself that wasn't what he had shown everybody else.
Yes.
So if John had took the opportunity to cheat and win, that would have done so much for Bray.
Yeah, because he would have been like, I just showed the world what I've known all along.
And John could just continue trying to be John, and people would have still booed him and cheered him like we did already.
Yeah.
But now we would have had a real reason to boo. He's like, you son of
Exactly.
a, I know you're not as clean as you say you are. I saw you. I saw you. You know, we know his dirty little secret, and he'd be still trying to be this good guy.
Sneak in a low blow there when you can. Use
Yeah,
it.
it would have been so perfect, dude. It would have been so perfect.
Use it. Use a chain, something.
But yes, the children choir and the whole world in his hands,
But I forgot
clearly to
about
this
that.
day, still such a momentum, momentous
Moment,
moment in his career.
because it's still talked about.
To this day, of course. And it leads me into my favorite moment because of that match and how well that story went and how different Bray was. It marked a moment for everybody, even in the loss, that this guy could be the new Undertaker. Taker just lost that same Mania.
Yes.
And the night Bray died, I talked my wife's head off about this moment. That's why it's my favorite moment. Because that from that year and that WrestleMania specifically to WrestleMania 31 created a storyline where all the stars align for Bray to make his first WrestleMania so impactful at the same WrestleMania where Taker loses the streak. That I guess later you can tie into Daniel Bryan and Bray, but it created such a parallel because all year now that Taker is gone, we have a new guy. That we can, that the gossip is this guy's the new Taker. And then come WrestleMania time, Bray makes the ultimate power move to say, all year, I've been proving to you guys I'm this guy. So what the hell? I'm just gonna call him out. And he proceeds to, after the Kane Inferno match, which is insane in itself, he starts to every week dig deeper and deeper and deeper into this whole attacking the Undertaker, talking about the urn, claiming he's the new face of fear. This became World Eater into Face of Fear Bray Wyatt, where he started taking his powers. You know, they beat the hell out of his brother. He still won't say anything. Now he has the, it was like every week Taker doesn't answer, he becomes more and more of the Undertaker. And after a while, even we started to be convinced, like maybe it's over. Like, is there even an Undertaker without the streak? Is he just gonna become the new Undertaker at WrestleMania? What's happening? Because he didn't answer until like the last week. So just think for a second about how amazing of a storyteller Bray Wyatt is to take all that energy built up all year to then build a WrestleMania story with The Undertaker by himself.
Yeah.
For weeks at a time. To the point where by the time we get to the chair in the middle of the ring promo, we're all just like, I just want to see him.
Uh-huh.
Like at this point, we've decided Bray is the new Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just like, is he really just scared to come back? Like, are they really going to let him just get shit on all week until WrestleMania? Is that really what this is?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he answered and he electrocuted the chair, the happiness in Bray Wyatt's face that he finally got Taker to step out the, you know what I mean?
Come out from the shadows, rise up
out from
the
shadows was the same excitement we felt. And I was like, how amazing is it that Bray's goal wasn't even to win? It was just to get you to appear. And we get this amazing match where he hits the spider and Taker hits the kip up and they stare at each other. And just, again, another moment they should have gave him the win. But so iconic was just that build of the passing of the torch match.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't quite go the way we all felt like it probably should have went.
Mm-hmm.
But just tonight, just it's an ultimate display of storytelling for Bray Wyatt and how creative he is and how much of a mastermind he is to put together something so special for us with nobody doing anything but him. Like he totally building it on his own heels.
Yeah, it was definitely probably one of the best moments. So the next one we have is from Mr. Awesome. He gave us two moments. We can use them both. We're going to use them both because I like one of these moments very much. The first one is the Wyatt versus the Shield, the match itself. I believe this was either, I want to say this was either Survivor Series or TLC. I don't remember which one it was exactly, but it was one of the two. And the second one is the tag team and feud with Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy, the leaders of worlds, if you will.
The leaders of worlds.
I love the match between the Wyatts and the Shield. It was literally, it was kind of like, you know, DX versus, it's like a dream scenario. It's if DX was to fight NWO.
Yeah.
And which we kind of got for a tiny moment. But like it, like prime, you literally have two prime groups right here. Looking back on it now, four world champions in this match. Five intercontinental champ. Wait, four intercontinental champions. And then you just have tag team champions spread all throughout this match. Like Rumble winners, Money in the Bank winners. Literally anything you can think of. This was probably the most elite match of a 3-on-3 group that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, the Wyatts went over.
Yeah.
And not only did they go over, they went over clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was a rarity.
Yeah, it was their only equivalent. I mean, you talk about a moment in time, dude.
Yeah, like what a time.
What a time. To be able to put the future of wrestling.
Literally, that was the future of wrestling. And a six-man tag match.
Just tearing the house down, man. Tearing the house down.
Like, looking back on it, you have...
And you knew.
Yeah. Because
up to that point, the Shield had been undefeated for like 2 years.
Yeah, they were running roughshod on everybody.
They beat every super team. They had to make up teams every month to keep up with these guys.
Literally, like, we had We had Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Ryback. We had the Usos and Ryback. We had, like, CM Punk and... No, not CM. It was, like, Daniel Bryan and Goldust and Stardust. Like, there was just these random teams being thrown together left and right just to fight these guys. And then here comes your Darkness family, and they went clean.
Yeah. And But they, come on. I mean, the Wyatt family was.
It's crazy. Both groups were like running on, you know, they were both on 10.
They were like, yeah, they were on opposite. They were both at the peak of their
Yeah.
factions.
So
Yeah.
that's just a dope moment. And then the Matt Hardy stuff, man, that speaks in and of itself. Like that was just creative comedy at its finest right there, for good and bad.
If
It
there
was
was like
like
a if there was like a dark version of the Rock and Sock,
literally, that's what that was. It was like
so bizarre.
Rock and Sock goes goth.
It was so bizarre, but it was a hoot, man.
It was
It was a
bizarre,
hoot.
but it was entertaining, man.
Yeah, that's just entertainment at its finest, man. They took,
It got Matt a victory at Mania.
yeah.
Remember with the Andre the Giant Memorial when Bray came back and helped him?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? He won the
And
Andre the
then
Giant.
we got the little close glimmer of Bray and Brother Nero.
Yeah. People were talking about that one too.
That's something that should have happened at some point. I would have been happy with a Bray versus Brother Nero moment.
Yeah, that would have been cool. They'd have put something special together, the two of them. They're crazy selves. Oh, you talk about two creative fucking people, man.
Next we got one from Matthew underscore Johnson 19. His was not even a Bray Wyatt moment, believe it or not. His was Husky Harris in the Nexus. Now, this one kind of threw me off because nobody really thinks of Bray Wyatt and Husky Harris as like the favorite moment of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
But then thinking back on it, it's not a terrible pick because think about it. One of the most dominant groups of the modern era for a period of time,
Was the Nexus?
the Nexus. You know, you had some great people in there. You had Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan,
Love him. Love him.
Otunga, Ryback, Justin Gabriel, and then you got your other people, you know, like your Michael Tarvers and Heath. You know, he got kids. You gotta love Heath. But
Got
Husky
kids.
Harris, yeah, but Husky Harris was a part of that
I
group.
liked Husky Harris.
And when you think back, who was the pro for Husky Harris?
Oh man, who was the pro for Husky Harris?
Cody
I know
Rhodes.
this. It was Cody. It was
Cody
Cody.
Rhodes.
It was
That's why Cody
Cody.
was in the front on SmackDown.
You know what's crazy? Oh man. That's insane, dude. That's insane.
That talk about a full circle
Did you
moment.
watch that whole season?
I did. I actually that
I
was
watched
actually
that whole season.
so did I.
So it meant something to me when Nexus appeared and just jumped everybody. And it was like, forget picking a winner. Like,
We don't need a winner.
we don't need a winner.
We're just gonna do this together.
And if I have to give anything to Vince, I will give him that. The idea of flipping an entire show on its head by using it as a vehicle to debut an entire faction where everybody's character is displayed in a single show instead
Hasn't,
of like a promo package and
yeah.
like using it as a twist at the end. Oh, sick.
And it
Sick.
hasn't been done as good since.
Has good
Probably
sense.
won't be done as good. Because think about it, they
I
try
mean,
to
it was
do
sick. I mean, they we
it.
didn't
Yeah.
know what happened. Like, as
They
a
try to
for the
they
age that I was watching it, they fully kayfabed me into believing these guys were just they were pissed. And it was like, we're not gonna go back home.
Yeah. Like for a brief moment, they really had you thinking, yo, these guys are really whooping the hell out of these people.
Yeah, they just decided F the show,
We just gonna
bro.
beat
Like,
that. We just gonna destroy everything. Like we gonna destroy this ring. We gonna.
and the fact that Wade was like, and it felt like Wade was like, y'all not going home. Like, I'm winning. We all winning. Like, let's take a, they can't beat us all together. And it was like, shit, they can't. And they ran roughshod over everybody.
Damn near killed Justin Roberts on the side of the ring.
Yeah, they whooped everyone. That's a hilarious moment.
Literally, like you strangled that man
And
pink.
I quite enjoyed Husky Harris. I
Yeah,
quite enjoyed Husky Harris. So
Husky was good.
that's a good one.
Even a new Nexus with Punk.
Yeah. He wasn't
Uh,
that husky hands. What's it
yeah.
called?
H
He just didn't
Husky.
have a very creative character, but
Yeah.
he was good. He was still good in the ring.
Definitely wasn't the worst member of Nexus.
Definitely not.
I'll leave that distinction to our
Good
boy
man.
Michael Tarver. No, I'm leaving it to Tarver.
Okay.
Oh no, wait, Ryback was Sheffield. Yeah, I'll still give it to Tarver. But next moment comes from Tito again, and his favorite moment was the WrestleMania match with John Cena as the Fiend.
As the Fiend.
As the Fiend.
Interesting moment, Tito. Interesting moment. You know what? I can't be mad at that.
This was the one, correct me if I'm wrong, was this the one where John was in NWO?
Yeah, this was NWA.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
then that was a funny one. That was a funny one. That
Yeah.
was the one where he didn't actually challenge John. He just popped up, pointed at the sign, and John just gave him a little hat nod.
And they went into the he went into like the Firefly Funhouse and had the
That's what it was. It was the Funhouse match. Okay.
because it, unfortunately for Bray that year, Taker fought AJ in a cinematic match. And the two just
Yes, that's what
outweighed
that
each other.
was. Yes, that was,
They
yeah.
outweighed take that Taker AJ match happened to be a classic.
Yeah.
So to follow behind the first classic cinematic match.
But that was, I'll be
Bad rub.
honest.
But upon rewatch,
Look.
very fun match. Very fun. And he got a lot of his stuff off. Like,
Yeah. John got to be a bad guy in the fucking match. Like
yeah.
in the build up, not in the build, but in
He
the
ended up
actual
like
match.
coming back for his win. You know
It
what I
was like
mean?
Multiverse of Madness before
It was like the
Multiverse of Madness
Multiverse of
came out.
Madness. It was like the Multiverse of Madness. Now, see, if we had pitched that as the match and a Multiverse of Madness match, oh my God, Bray Wyatt both Multiverse of Madness matches. Ugh. Bray,
Yeah.
man, this sucks. You're going, dude.
Dude.
I mean, there was so much more to do, man.
There was.
There was so much more.
And then, we talked about this earlier a little bit. Reckless Figs, good old boy, friend of the channel, friend of the show, honorary dangerous jobber, if you will. His favorite moment, being a Philly kid just like us, man. The return at Extreme Rules in Philly in that crowd. I mean,
That's
we
funny.
can't we could talk about that moment till we're blue in the face, but that was one hell of a moment indeed.
I just wish we knew what it was.
I didn't get to give mine yet, because
Yeah,
mine
please.
is it's going with I'm going with this one for a plethora of reasons, but the main reason is it involves somebody that's like probably my favorite wrestler of all time. Like he's up there, probably one or two. It's in the same time as the Elimination Chamber where he won the world title, and it's the entire thing with Randy Orton. That was just for me, that point in time, I loved everything that happened. That was the year I predict Randy r winning the Rumble,
That was that year.
which nobody saw coming. I didn't think he was going to fight Bray. I thought that was the year it was going to be Randy and AJ. But I am absolutely glad that that was the year we got Randy and Bray, because that match, as creepy as it was at certain points, obviously, Randy had that weird thing with his entrance. The graphic that looked a little too graphic. But I did find it hilarious that one, they got a run with the tag titles together. In the ring,
That
the
was
graph
very
of
interesting.
all the bugs.
Yes, yeah.
I did kind of
That was
like
great.
that.
That was great.
That was unique. That was something we hadn't seen before. And then not only that, Randy literally burned the house down where Sister
That was,
Abigail
and that was a
was.
big, huge moment. Huge
That
moment.
was that time where Randy was serving as a servant. instead of being the master.
Mm-hmm.
And then he burned down the house of where Sister Abigail was buried. And I ain't gonna lie, I was like, oh shit, you done pissed off Randy now.
Yeah, man, for the classic fans, that, oh man,
That would.
I remember that happening and it being like, he just broke the Undertaker's bike.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, you don't do that. Nope.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I know what happens now. I know what happens now. This is not gonna be good. This is
It was like,
nothing good
bro,
can come from this.
it was like you just took your foot off that tiger's neck, man. You about to get bit in the ass.
But the crazy thing too was, even though it felt like a huge wrestling no-no, like breaking the Undertaker's bike for Randy to burn down the house, you also realize you were getting like sick Viper Randy.
Yeah, like this was kick your door in, punk
Yeah.
kick your wife,
This was
Randy.
punk kick Randy.
Yeah, like this was it wasn't like anger management, Randy.
Yeah.
But it was,
but it was,
I mean, I'm about my shit, Randy.
it was, I'm listening to the voices, Randy.
Yeah, that is the perfect way to say it. It's like the voices in my head, Randy.
And
It's
that they put
literally
on,
voices.
I mean, even though the match was freaky, right? Weird. But just the story was great. And to get to know you were getting those two types of characters again was tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
So that's got to be my favorite moment, man. Anything he did with Randy, not even just the first one, the second run too, anything he did with Randy, because it's like you got to see a whole new side of Randy every time or each time. And that just speaks to the type of talent creatively that Bray was. He was good at giving you other sides of him and other sides of other people. Like you got to see Bray in different lights with each new thing. You got to see Daniel in different lights. You got to see the Shield in different lights. You got to see John in different lights. You got to see LA Knight
Seth.
in it. Yeah, Seth, LA Knight, Bobby, Braun in the Swamp match. Like he gave you different sides to all these people, and that not a lot of people would be able to do. Like, I don't think anybody else could be able to take these guys and show you them in a whole new way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like some of the best stuff Randy had done up until that point. So that for me is just, that's just my moment. Both the things with Randy, specifically the first one, but anything with Randy that he did, I was a huge fan of, and I love still to this day. You got anything you want to add before we sign off, man?
I think both these guys were iconic in their own different ways, especially if you watch them from the beginning.
Yes.
If you watch Terry from the beginning, you have a special kind of feeling for him. And if you're closer to our age, watching Bray from the beginning and all the genuine love we had for him, one of the first things I said when I first found out that he had passed was when I was just, you know, venting and grieving out loud, I said, one of my biggest things that hurt so much about losing Bray was that we kept waiting for Bray. A big thing about Bray was we kept waiting for the moment where we felt like he was going to catch one and that was going to be the one. And he was going to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be like the huge Bray Wyatt run.
Yeah.
And I said, the irony is the fact that we kept coming back so strong.
Mm-hmm.
He never really needed the run.
No. And
because we were there every single time. Every single time.
Anything that man did, anything he touched, turned to gold.
And we had to be there to see it. So he didn't, in the end, he didn't need a big run because we were so genuinely behind him and we all loved him so much.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to keep coming back no matter what.
Yeah, he could have been the top guy. He could have been the mid guy. He could have lost every feud he was in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so damn entertaining and because the dude was just so freaking charismatic, the way he could maneuver a crowd and just work, he didn't need a world title. He didn't need to be a 8-time, 9-time world champion or a 5-time intercontinental champion, what have you. When you gave him that rock, the times that you did, we were still there. We were still going to watch it. Mm-hmm. If you didn't give him the rock, we were still going to watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was that good. He was that creative and entertaining that he didn't need a title to feel relevant. You just put him in a ring, give him a microphone, and he's going to be relevant. So,
I mean, the fireflies never stop, man.
No, and Bray may not be here. Terry might not be here, but there's going to be some chainsaws revving, and there's going to always be fireflies. So, I think that's how we sign it off. Again, our thoughts and prayers to the families and friends of Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. Hell of a career for both men. Hell of a legacy. And they'll never be duplicated. There will never be another Terry Funk. There will never be another Bray Wyatt. And on behalf of us, everybody else, just thank you for the careers you've left and the amount of people you've entertained. I don't think we need to plug anything in here. You know, this is just for them. So, guys, with that being said, stay up, stay blessed. As Bray Wyatt would say, run.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?